interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 503. Where redneck Dennis doesn't turn left, behind the woodshed, we don't use brakes. Because this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours. Break free. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so you got to get behind the woodshed. You got to tell these miscreants that you ain't going to handle it no more. It ain't going to be that way. Boy, I'm hoping we're looking at an observation in the world that's getting the truth out, finding the truth of the abject corruption that's been in the system, something I've been staring at for a long time. Why, I think I have some authority to come talk to you on how to protect yourself from it. Not everything I see, but I see lots. A lot of it comes down to that administrative life that the people complain about. But as I found, do you know where your savings provisions are? Where you know the limits of jurisdiction? Where you know where the authority so-called is only so-called and not real? As I identified for these two half going on 3 years of the Kobe swindle, showed you very quickly, before it even started, how this was going to lay out and how you could stop it. So you can too, move in forward and be that free agent, if you will, in the world. But you'll realize we're not free. You'll realize generally we're not free because there's someone that always believes they have an authority. And those people usually want to kill you. And here's this back and forth. I told you, get involved. I know it's tedious. I know I don't like it. I don't even want to do it myself. But if you have the position to do, you have the ability, you have the skill, you can too step up like they did in San Francisco. Now again, San Francisco halts killer robot police policy after huge backlash for now. This is an ongoing prison condition that I've seen for a long time. You do have to speak up, and a lot of people say it's futile because it's for now forever. It's always for now until they get what they want. And somehow we have to work that out as a society. Otherwise, they're going to continue, and it's continuing. It's not stopping. But here we have people stepped up in a big way. San Francisco supervisors have walked back their approval of a controversial policy that would have allowed police to kill suspects with robots in extreme cases. And I won't go through, again, there's so much to talk about. If you're interested, get this story in the blogcast or get the link. If you already haven't figured it out, get on the internet while I'm talking, while you're hearing it. If you haven't got the link from the blogcaster, you can read what happened. And again, for now, the policy sits there, but I want to remind you, I told you it's coming to a time, and I said this years ago, you're going to have to deal in the policy of administrative executive agencies and shut them down now. You've got to go there. They're working through that. They have to do this. Shows you there's some due process, there's some law. In this case, California, the legislature made it mandatory that the local jurisdictions approve military weapons. The police needed this in order to use those weapons. And so the outcry, even after it was approved, was such that they walked it back. They will remove it until the police, the government, and the soldiers of the government, in the form of a police, are going to continue to try to get it. And so you have to figure out ways to shut this down. And so at the policy level, this is where it happens. This is where it stopped at this point. And again, as I told you, this was not, as we talked about, some assemblywoman or whoever it was, their supervisor, their misunderstanding. The law didn't even know how to speak correctly. It wasn't that they had to give it to them, it was that they had to approve it. And so that was a big deal right there. You got to listen for even if your officials understand what's going on. And I'm saying that very particularly because I'm finding out in all the years I've been doing this, they don't. In fact, they'll listen to the attorneys, the bar members, advice, then it's a lot of times, wrong, absolutely wrong. And the way you got to stop that is bring out the black and white. And so there's a way to get at this overthrow that's going on, is happening, it's been happening for decades and decades. We're really behind it, but how quickly we can stop, at least mitigate these problems right now, and then start turning to the systemic problems, I hope. I don't know what else to do, and that's why I offer this. I don't know what else, I have no other suggestions. I've heard the real extreme suggestions, but those seem to be spacious in a way because you and maybe your merry band aren't going to stop this. It's actually a global problem. And it's a global spirit, which near the end of this broadcast, I think we'll find out is turning, I'm hoping. Like I said, the awareness of this, of all this corruption is turning. What I'm afraid of here, if it's a fear, is being afeared, is that people focus on the wrong thing. They're going after all the effects, the consequences, instead of turning to those that are actually doing it by an objective basis. And they want to do it a little too quick. They don't want to give the presumption of innocence to the authority, despite the black and white, and give them one chance to fix it, like they did here, which is pretty interesting. Yes, I don't like it. It means you've got to be at the minions of the government overthrow are everywhere, and you have to be too. Not you individually, but you as a mutual aid of everybody in the society. Not that I like it. It's not supposed to be that way, but a long time ago I learned as a miner, as soon as they attack a producer, not even just a miner, but a producer, farmer, rancher, manufacturer, they are attacking your society. And there's no way that party, who's ever attacked, can actually make it right for themselves. It was never supposed to happen. And I don't know if people appreciate how finite, definite that breach is an attack on society, which is exactly what the minorization acts in the society are attacking. All those production things, denying them, and then causing them to be a problem for us. Because, as we've heard of those in the Club of Rome and their policies, you are a cancer. Because, I don't know why, because these people are sick and insane, but they don't care. They have no worry about you. And their law enforcement is not really law enforcement. It is a military action. And you have to see that. Libra Code tells us you know them when you see them. You know them by their acts, by their deeds. You don't have to listen to what they say, and they don't have to tell you. You just know that when they come in after you, they mean to hurt you. That's what it's about. They have their protocols. They have their mission, whether they want to couch it in euphemistic terms like public safety and security. It's not, you look at the indeed, you look at what they're doing. When they're killing the people, they're asking for permission to kill people. Then we should be taking note of that and moving a little more strenuously, I would hope, at least in the beginning. But the FBI now reveals, as we see these deception one after the other, being exposed, and I hope people start to move on this. It's a story I've been following, can't do much more about it than to identify it. Kind of like the Julian Assange story in a way, and Julian Assange is attached to this as well. How we get information to ourselves as people, the government's not supposed to be hiding it. And here the FBI reveals it has more information on slain DNC staffer Seth Rich. The big deal is here, when they were responding to the court, they identified where they denied it before. They didn't have the laptop. They do have the laptop, and they have an image. And so there's a whole lot of interesting things going on relative to keep pressing in different facets in the court, utilizing the rules to pull discovery and get them, the other side, to start acting. And if you get them, as I was saying, you learn procedurally, you can make them move a little too quick. They make mistakes. Then you start exposing for the mistakes you make. You actually, for me, I try to plan those into any response that I'm going to be doing. I try to get them to make a mistake, partly. I want to do a quick response, I want a quick resolve, but if it looks like there's not going to be a quick resolve generally, which seems to be the case, you try to get them to trip up. Then you lead it on. You make the record of that. And this led to the fact that they do have the laptop. The FBI's lying. They're covering up something, obviously. And I don't want to get too, like last week, you know, it sure looks like the CIA killed Kennedy, or was involved, I should say, in killing Kennedy. But I have no direct proof of that yet. But it sure looks like it, right? And then one of the reasons is that agency still exists. And when everybody else was dead, and no one could, we couldn't find disfavor on the dead, but when all the truth came out, the agencies that exist are still alive, and those are the ones being protected. And we have to look at the CIA, possibly, well, not, maybe the Mossad, not necessarily that agency, but those behind it, and some others that are part of agents, that are part of agents in the world. And so that's coming up. That may be coming up too. We'll see. I don't know, but this is the kind of thing that goes on. You start watching how your law enforcement's not. They're part of the enemy. We can say defund them. We need to do whatever it takes to get rid of them. Defunding them may be a start. The Congress and the Senate might be able to, but you find out that there's not much support and help there. We see people moving in the current regime. And I do see them as regimes anymore. They're just, if you think that the elections, as I've been talking to you years and years about the problems, at least the problems in the election system, and the status is more importantly to my mind as far as how they treat us, how the government plausibly treats you without your rights, within privileges that can be given to you and taken, by certain elements of proofs that get you walking into a problem and you don't notice it. That's the thing I mostly speak to. But we have people that come, characters that come on the scene, and these regimes that try to move the future they want. And then you find over time, as I said, like Kobe Swindle would be exposed over time. I was hoping differently, that you would all expose it for yourselves immediately by the black and white that was derelict, the officials were derelict to enforce. That was the way you did that. And so here we have to wait a different way. The former White House disinformation czar, Nina Jankowicz, registers as a foreign agent. And so there's nothing, no problem in a way with her moving around and getting a job, but these people are of association. And she moves to the UK, and because she does that, and in a political, of a foreign government, and a foreign political party, and of a foreign principal, they have to register as foreign agents. So that happened fast, right? And so what you look at, and when you see this link, look for what the organization does, and she's going to further the goals of that organization. And if you look carefully, they use the children, the women and the minorities, and understand minority is a child as well. And they want to talk about being information resilient. All these words are of the future they want. These are the sustainable future. These are these people. And so she's moving from where she was in the United States. It got whacked pretty good and then moved on. And that didn't go away. That institution hasn't gone away. It's just gone quiet for a while. The agents of this move into foreign areas, and now we know they're registered, and they're consistently moving in the same direction. In this case, the word resilience is important relative to being sustainable, and it's about how it's cancel culture, cancel everything that's not what we want in the future. So she's moved there. So she was going to be one of the people that were giving advice and policy, federal advice and policy to the peons, the rest of us, had we accepted it. No, we didn't. So we throw that one out. That good riddance, as far as I can tell. But she's not going away. She's going to be an influence in the world, furthering goals. Remember, goals is another, all the sustainable goals, remember. All those are to be sustainable. They're supposed to be resilient. They're moving on. These words are there to, we can follow them by their euphemisms. If we don't need to do more. But I think we need to keep track of where these people go in a way, because until we get rid of the sustainable future they want, there is going to be no end to the terror and fear that's going to be imposed, and utilizing that terror and fear as a wedge between you and your rights and everything else. As we move, keep moving on here, I've tried so many tabs today. Last week I didn't even get to close off the ideas that I wanted to do, and I'm getting a little disappointed not to be able to each week close off a conceptual idea and themes by utilizing all these links to show you interactions working inside of nested functions that all are working together in the world. That any, you can step in anywhere you feel you can, or use it as an insight to help you where you are stepping in. But here we move on now to go to UK and a disinformation agent moving into resilient information, which is against, it'll be cancel culture. Germany is now a total dictatorship, says a Dutch journalist. Western nations have used the Ukraine conflict as a pretext to destroy what was left of the freedom of speech. And I'm saying that they use all these pretexts to destroy everything that's in you, and why I suggest very strongly, and if I can get to the point vehemently, you better find your saving clauses to the rights that you had before that are the future they want. The new normal is displacing right before your eyes. So this is speaking into that. They are using the Ukraine conflict as a pretext to stifle freedom of speech. This is just one, but here's someone who's observing it. There's a view coming, finally, to my mind, finally, that expose the another facet of how they take something that they, a perception management, a wrong in you to perceive, and then attack the thing they want to take out. Again, Ukraine is just a cover for a lot of things, and this is one of them. And here we have the statement coming from this journalist. This is what the Western countries are doing since the start of the special military operation, even before that, even before the Syrian war, wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Sonia van den Eeden said, in recognizing, this has been, as I've been saying, it's been ongoing. They use these things. They remember the WMDs, right? All that stuff. they work on our ignorance and our lack of response to not call all that out immediately. If we can use the San Francisco example, that people just stepped up finally and just said, this is not going to happen. And they walked back again for now, that perpetual prison. But here's someone else that sees it. The MP claimed that the alleged danger of Russian propaganda and disinformation in Germany should not be underestimated. Again, perception management. And going on to say that, particularly given the economic troubles, when everything is getting more expensive, there is a risk that people will become more receptive to pro-Russian fakes. And this is the condition that they set up in order to get you to comply. They just put the imposition on you, and after a while, you can only do, essentially go in the direction they want you. When they take everything away from you and you allow it, you have nowhere to move. As I've said before in a different way, when they take your health, you're not going to fight politics or these people that come through politics to take over your way of life. You're not going to go there. You're too busy just trying to breathe. You're just too busy to get rid of the pain, just to stop the problem. Your son or daughter's sick or having problems. You're going to focus on that. It's another way to attack us as a people. Again, as I said, somehow they figured us out. We weren't aware, and we're still not aware as far as I can tell. We are grumbling. We start to see the truth, as we're so-called seeing, being aware now. But this is just now becoming aware. They're just now saying these are pretexts, and we need to be careful on how they come after us in other ways, which I found pretty great. I mean, here it comes. It's consistent with my message, if you will, if you please, about part of how this works to try and not let, well, don't let people fear you, and so you can respond more effectively, and don't get yourself in traps. Don't jump into the fire that they say, oh, here, take this, here's this common cold. You need to be afraid. Don't jump with that. And most of my listeners likely don't. Some of you might have. And then you stop. I mean, you just try to fix it. Don't go any further. Once you find you're down a bad path, step back. And so we have that ability to do that and help each other. All this stuff that's going on, I am not gloating over the fact I've said you didn't have to go there and, well, shame on you for going there. No, this is a serious attack on society. We need all of us at some point. We need everybody's skills at some point in the future. But we need to have it more intelligently, more responsibly applied and immediately. Even the thing in San Francisco is really cool, but when you see it's held back for now, that's a continuing problem. And until we get that problem fixed, until the government becomes, if you will, the servant of the people, they get back into the limitations that they were supposed to, as I call the black and white, the duties that the legislature provides, until you can confine them there, we're going to have some serious problems. And once we confine them there, we still may see some additional problems. And those are a little different. And I won't even go there at this point. You have to see them when you see them, and then you have to deal with them as you deal with them. But those are so hard to see right now in face of all the major violations that no one moves on, and there's no sense to really open more possibilities of what all the work we have to do is if we want to survive a lot of this. And I just think, and there's, you know, we all say, oh, I'm going to survive, I'll do good. Yeah, well, there's a lot that are not. And maybe, you know, some people have this, we're so cynical to say good. Maybe it's true that way, but there's a lot of good people that are going down and don't know that they're going down and or have gone down. But all the innocent sons and daughters that you have that didn't understand about this Kobe swindle and now are dead. The class of men that are dying, more deaths in 1 year than the 10-year war of Vietnam. It's an abomination, actually. I don't even know what more to say. So Germany is a total dictatorship. It is a warning to us. They use these pretexts and the pretense in order to get around us. And I don't know about Europe. I don't really have a clue. The more I see going on, I don't know why the people can't stop like the Dutch farmers. We might get there in a second here about the property rights for farmers. But this is a bizarre world that we're now all of a sudden facing really quickly. As they were talking about the Germany becomes a dictatorship, but all of the EU is using the Ukraine war, the special operations, whatever this fiasco is, a self-inflicted wound. In fact, one of these articles you'll see someone discuss these as self-inflicted wounds by the EU that are going on. And that's my language, folks. I'm not sure they're listening behind the woodshed, but these are self-inflicted wounds, and that's coming out too. So when you start seeing that, you get cutters. You know, you got these people that want to cut themselves. You have a mental case. that you have to, you don't have to be judgmental on it. They have a problem. They got something else going on. And that's what these people seem to remind me. Someone that's going to harm themselves in order to do something bigger. And they've immunized themselves at some level, as we're seeing some of the corruption again. Awareness of the corruption in the system in the EU coming out. I don't know if I'm going to get to that story this week, maybe next week. What's being exposed to us? Take note. Don't think it's over there. Wherever you see it, don't think it's over there. It's right in your backyard. All this stuff. And if I know people say that, they know that, but that is hurting us. It's hurting us in ways that I don't know if we truly appreciate for us as people. We don't have no dignity in ourselves, no class in ourselves to say, wait, that's enough. That's enough. We're going to stop it. I'm going to stop the part I see. EU set to freeze assets of RT's parent company. This is moving on. Germany's a dictatorship, shutting down, using a pretext to stifle speech. The whole of the entire EU is going to sanction the media centers that are coming into the European Union. Again, not Europe, the Union, this veneer of control. The next sanctions package against Moscow will likely also ban other Russian TV channels. I didn't get a chance to go and find out if that sanctions package, which did pass, did sanction. The point is that this is likely going on. The next tab I'm going to report on is that it is going on. This is not even a question. The EU's upcoming ninth sanctions package will likely strike at Russian media channels, including RT. So this is if you thought that the EU and the United States and NINA were into freedom of speech, these people don't want certain entities to speak. And inside those entities are more people that are speaking. And you're going to find on my blogcaster, I'm going to find lots of RT links. So I'm seeking out this other voice that's being shut down. And, I mean, you can too, but they make it very difficult. So everyone cuts out the speech. They censor the speech on a wide governmental platform. The EU upcoming nine sanctions package will likely strike Russian media TV. Well, let's go and move over. What happened to Iran just recently? Iran's parliament slams EU sanctions on press TV. Periodically, I get my links from there. That's a different perspective. And it's a bit refreshing in a way. And no, I just don't take, like as anybody, you don't just take what you read and just take it wholeheartedly and say that's the truth. What you do is you do qualify it, but you do get that other perspective to bring into your analysis. So EU sanctions on press TV for removal of the network from Eutelsat, their satellite system. So if you think you're fighting for democracy over there, that we're protecting democracy, that doesn't include freedom of speech for the entire European Union. And if you think that's just governments being taken down, well, no, we're continuing the private speech as well, the censorship, the funneling down of the knowledge that you could possibly gain to gain the truth for yourself if no one's going to tell the truth. There's always a little bit of truth, it seems, in something along the way, whether you can identify it at the time or not. Again, you just put that out there. Like I said, there's always potentials and possibilities and probabilities. That's how I think anymore. And I keep qualifying everything until something gels and synthesizes into a more perfect truth. Until we can see it's time to respond to what we see as that truth. Not the one we're just told by anyone, the one we come together with the best of our knowledge and research and study to come together so that we make our better decisions. What I'm trying to do every week to show you, I may not have the only opinion, certainly, but I have a view. I have a methodology. More importantly, I have a methodology of what you do with that information. And in that methodology, it reproves itself or not. It shows itself up as you move along through an objective basis, not the perception that's been of our perception that's been managed. And so we have not just the countries being censored, their entire people and their voice being censored in the world. And that kind of harkens back. Even if the UN was something good, we would need the UN view. We need all the voices from that UN body in order to know everybody's perspective. Well, the EU don't want that perspective, their perspective, in. The United States doesn't want it in. You take out the voice, you take and you censor the voice, the speech, and then you attack, and you also attack their money. Well, that's the first thing that happened to Russia. In fact, we're going to get a link. I've been saying it's not a proxy war. Russia, Putin just said it's not a proxy, hasn't been a proxy war, and when. And so it's consistent with what I'm saying, contrary to the celebritudes that are in the town square of Twitter talking about that it's a proxy war. But moving back to this, money is another way to take you out. You take out your finances. And I want you to think, I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about in your house, in your household. They take out your money, they get less, cost more, and they affect you by how they manipulate your bank account, if you will. Your economy, how you make your money, where you can make the money. What do you think they did with this Kobe swindle, keeping everybody away from each other and doing that? And then they blame Kobe swindle. No, it was that these policies that they bring as a pretext to interfere with you, and you didn't stand up to say no. Not a judgment call, just look around you. The society did not stand up, and now that thing is now being given the power to have caused all this economic woe. No, there was a pretext. That economic woe is the plan. It's the consequence of not responding properly. So, where do we go? BitChute bank accounts have been frozen and suspended in attempt to end the platform. So, I didn't know about this until just recently here, just this week. Now, or nearly at the end of the 2022, two different banks have our money. HSBC has held it for almost 2 years. An alternative video platform, BitChute, is having their bank accounts suspended and their balances withheld from the owner's access in order to pay the bills. Reva Hay, BitChute founder and chief executive, made the announcement on a fundraising campaign and Give, Send, Go. And then Hay explained it. You can get the link. This is interesting. You read through what they did, and they made it impossible to get the money as well in a bank transfer, and then both banks shut them out. So they're taking out your voice, the platform for your voice as well, and they're doing it in Europe. So it's not, this is a broad spectrum attack on censorship. And anyway, so I don't know, we all know that there's an attack. What I'm saying is that maybe you can help, there's a request to help BitChute. I post on BitChute, and thank you very much for everybody who goes to the BitChute account. You give me respect by doing that, and your comments, and thank you to the Nikki Apana video and putting the links in you just did last week. I appreciate that. More information wrapped around what Nikki Apana did and who she was in bringing all this sustainable communitarianism upon, that's coming upon us, giving people the first in-depth insights. So thank you for those contributions in that video on BitChute. Again, this is where people can come together, and I'm thankful that people do show up and contribute. So we come together in not only just, oh, you don't listen to me, you actually bring things, and I would hope that it's high-level stuff. It's not just a bunch of unsupportable opinion or lots of things you people just can go read without any foundation and action. I find interesting people put a lot of stuff in the comments. They haven't read my blogcast because, like, documents that are posted in their links, oh, you need to read this because you don't know what you're talking about. I've got them listed on my blogcaster. I speak about them in the broadcast as if no one listens actually to what I'm saying, doesn't go and look at what I'm talking about. There's a thought process that wants to block information. Again, that's that perception management. The internet's an interesting thing. It told us a lot of information. A lot of it may be wrong. It may be right, but irrelevant. This is one thing I find. A lot of right information, but it's irrelevant to the battle you're in right now. And I try to speak more, I've focused more on what you may be involved in right now in your life. So thank you at BitChute. Again, Ray is having some trouble. Maybe you can, he's got a link over to the HBC comments. Maybe you can respectfully, even so, put together, when you read what there is, put together some response to HSBC and maybe the other bank and tell them to release those funds. Go to the arbitrator that he had to go to and say, what are you allowing this for? This is clearly they become a part of the fraud too. But anyway, so I wish Ray well on this. I mean, it means that we'll have could have no platform to go to if they continue this economic war, right? Just like I said, what's happening in Russia immediately, direct, not a proxy. They're coming right at you. If you think these European Union is a democracy-loving place with freedom of speech, these are all the proofs that they're wrong. And you're going to find this is a global feature now. As we move back, as a situation I'm critical a bit of Twitter, of Elon Musk, what his ultimate goal is, this all thing that Twitter is. And anyway, so he's bringing out something to gain, I suppose, favor. I would hope that things are going to go much better in the direction of what we really need, but there's too many humanistic attachments that are restrictions and controls and indeed doing things that are going to bring everybody down that path that the so-called critical thinkers are just already bought into. I'm just astounded. But this messaging thing, I want to go back a bit from last week. Messages, again, the censorshiping thing, and how they build in the system. It's this old thing, the same as the new thing at some level. Musk messenger Barry Weiss shows where Twitter may be heading. The Twitter CEO's choice of who to entrust with blowing the lead on censorship is telling. And you read about this Barry Weiss. And it's very, very interesting who he's confided in to release this information. Again, there's even pictures with Musk with the celebrities out there, one who didn't kill himself. And so you start to have to really put these two and two together, be careful of what they're saying and their statements are relative to what their actual deeds are. But what was common and observation was this: our author finds that on Weiss, posts on one of the pages that Weiss has posted, was that he was more considered the message of her own questionable record of battling censorship, not to mention her dogged support of the establishment and its gung-ho interventionist U.S. foreign policy. This may, Newland, Newland came to mind in Ukraine, what she did to that place, and what was she, the EU, whatever it was, right? So that's what's reminding me of this, and this guy writes this, I don't know anything about her, writes the gung-ho interventionist U.S. foreign policy is what she backs up. This may be indication as to the future direction of Twitter, since there is talk Weiss, could be offered a position on the social media platform. Then you roll down a little bit further, and you see that she's really involved with her alumni at Columbia. She attacked a Palestinian assistant professor who taught Palestinian and Israel politics and societies. And then she attacked him, and that attack was caught by Glenn Greenwald. Weiss's student activism against Mossad, this is Joseph Mossad, who was a Palestinian assistant professor, against Mossad, it's M-A-S-S-A-D, Mossad, which smacks of the cancel culture inquisition that has come to dominate the U.S. academia today, was derided by journalist Glenn Greenwald. And you see that there's even Greenwald, I think he's more of a liberal side, but he's also an attorney, right? All this is on that side. He's even seeing that she's even more extreme than that, and she's a part of cancel culture, notwithstanding what we would think Musk is doing. So be careful on who these people are being placed in and where they come from. Don't like Nina getting back over to UK, who's going to be the czar for disinformation. I told you folks a long time ago, when we moved into the United States into using the term czar to describe an agency department head, we should have been given the clue of what happened to our nation then. And this is decades ago. But here we have internal criticisms here about even this one that the censorship type that's coming in to rebuild in with Twitter as well. Moving along this idea that the corporations are being attacked unless you have the right words, and then nations are being attacked unless you hit the right narrative, and that's an information problem for people that are looking for the truth. At some point, you don't have the sources that you need. It makes it very difficult to find them, if nothing else. Like the internet, in this regard, is pretty good because it does have multiple ways to get at something, but you have to know those. If I didn't know that somebody was being constrained or censored, I wouldn't know to go look for them unless they popped up somehow. And this is part of like how my Twitter feed works. Twitter's really not anything for me. It's just one big obstruction at a point. But the policies that they shift allow me to see through other people's comments who might be out there. Because I'm not allowed to follow anybody. I haven't been allowed to follow. Last time I tried to follow someone was Vince. He has three different accounts. I could not follow Vince whatsoever. So I stopped. I just stopped doing all this stuff. And so Twitter is a very like looking through a straw for me, and I look through people. When someone responds to me, I get to see who responds to them through that. That's how I follow, if you will. I follow people that come through the feed through other accounts that I follow, which are not very few. And so this is how I have to find information and that people are out there. This is what censorship does, unless you're interested to be having to work real hard to find that information. As someone who was prior to Twitter and Musk, Jack Dorsey responds to Twitter files The platform's co-founder says that Twitter gained too much power over public conversation. This is the main problem. Even the EU's gained too much power over any conversation other than they can identify was wrong. Remember, they're presuming they have the power to shut down a speech from anywhere, when in fact they should only be concerned with that which is generally understood to be unlawful. Promoting yourself is not a bad, is not a criminal act. Challenging Israel is not anti-Semitism. And you'll see a lot of that discussion as we come into this as well. A euphemism, they target something and they use that to take you out. This is known. This is now coming up and to the world stage as a big deal and a big problem. As to his credit, Elon Musk is showing people an internal thing, but I'm real skeptical at this point to say that isn't just to gain favor at this point. And in particular, where he doesn't require it either. He offered that you pay to be authorized to speak in the public square. He needs that. He needs you to buy into that because he needs that all thing. And it just becomes like another PayPal, but it's all certified and authorized. You've given them everything you need for them to be able to work that through in the future AI, the thing that they need, the technocratic future. He's not backing off on any of that. I'm astonished how many people just fall into that one. But at any rate, that's not for me to decide. I don't do it. My straw is too small, and no one listens. You know, when I speak through my straw, and hardly anybody listens. And thank you very much for those that you forward and like and comment to the posts I put on Twitter. At least I know we got a little bit of life in that thing. Watching a lot of other people focusing on my opinion, the wrong thing. As I've explained, Ukraine, not a proxy war. Kobe swindle, not the harm of the vaccines. There is no vaccine. So where was the problem? The problem was the first step, the dereliction of the officials. Why isn't anybody, and thank you, somebody that I work with that identified, again, I may be literally the only one that has been talking about this, at least in the United States. This is someone that's been doing quite a bit of research and trying to figure out for them what was going on and where and what states are doing what relative to the COVID swindle. Not the COVID, the law that was breached, the destruction of your Republican-formed government that was breached. So I'm interested that I may be the only one. I don't know that I was for sure, but after people look around, I may be the only one that's telling you this stuff. And I'm just saying, well, that's a scary thing from my view, but you can not be that victim. You cannot be subject to all this and start outing these people wherever you are. I'm not going to talk to you if you're in the United States, go to European Union. No, those of you in European Union do this. Go against those folks. It's coming out with the new scandal. You know, you're not practicing what you preach much, and yet you destroy it. And so we see the elements of that. But so, interestingly, Jack Dorsey says elements inside the corporation that came to invest in it became too much power that he gave up on his aspirations for Twitter. Shows you another, again, not unknown, a consequence of private corporations, investment, speculation, and that these are tools of information perception management. A criticism here in the next tab, the Twitter files, the corporate media ignores the biggest story of the decade. The biggest story of the past decade is not the COVID pandemic, the January 6th protests, the war in Ukraine, or BLM riots, or even the stagflationary crisis in the U.S. Behind these major events is another story, one that connects them all together in a disturbing way. Even more important than the effects of geopolitical and economic chaos is the effect of mass censorship without the free exchange of information and debate, and the public remains ignorant. And if the public remains ignorant, crisis events have an increasing potential to explode. And I will agree to that extent. Your ignorance, what you think you know that ain't so, what you think you know that may be true, but you don't move on to remove from your life or to either neutralize it or eliminate it, this examples and pays credit to the ignorance of the rest of the population that this information is critical in how we're going, whether or not we can respond. And whether or not I would say that this is the biggest story, this certainly is right up there. The consequence is one of the biggest. My thought is a COVID pandemic was not big this way, but it was where it was the ability to example to us how the government destroys you and you would not step up. As I said, it was coming. And this was, I called it, just for lack of a better term, Operation Hindsight 2020. Would you see what they did to us in the prior 20 years with 9/11? This is the method. And so information is critical. The first thing in the war, what they say was the first thing in the war that dies is the truth or something. Yes, absolutely. And so a big story here, a big example of saying, oh, don't look at the confetti out there. Don't look at the flashing lights. Understand who's throwing that confetti and what their interest is, and what they might be doing. And you're going to have to cut through all that noise. And the agents of change are there to do that and continue to move your thoughts, because your thoughts, your perception management dictates your behavior. And that's really what it's all about ultimately, as we also see Google to introduce behavioral interventions. The next dystopian idea, including proposals such as pre-bunking, pre-bunking. Pre-bunking. Google has presented its project dubbed Info Interventions based on what it says is a behavioral science that, if these interventions are used as directed, could teach users to the degree that will become resilient to online harm. So here we are back to Nina and doing resiliency goals, protection and acquisition and performance for people, and instructing them how to do this. Another promise is that the pre-bunking misinformation users can be immunized. So everything now becomes looking at the infectious agent needs an immunization. That's your mind. So I'll stop right there. You can read the story. It's interesting. If you read through this, you see the points of what they're focusing on to show you what they're after in you. And they're getting a lot of it, even though you might we all deny that we're not being affected, but we are. And it requires a constant work in order to keep tabs on how that works in our behavior. Because I can say that I've had to change my behavior a bit in what I say in order to get some messages through. At some point, we just kind of give up. Like Sound Minds, he lost his accounts. We had to go somewhere else. Now, one of those accounts may be threatened as well, because the people who operate it may not have the funding. The economic attack, the war, economic war on everybody. That's another tool. So Google is setting it up, a preeminent force in the interwebs, to behaviorally control you, to teach you. And they have all these nice euphemisms for mind control, brainwashing, behavioral control, probably the worst of it all. Again, your deed, how you perform, what you do. It doesn't matter what you say, what you do. And let me offer, if you didn't quite catch it, it's not just what you do, it's what you don't do that you ought to have done. That's the omission. This is the other part of thinking you know something, and then knowing, looking at it morally or ethically, and say, man, that's just not right, and then not doing something about it. That's how they get us, too. So your behavior is controlled that way. Even when they have put in your mind, it's futile. Not like, hey, girl, thank you very much. Every once in a while you show up at the Twitter, if you're listening. Fertile, as she says. It just crossed my mind. Not futile. These are fertile places to grow into and solve for us, wherever you see it. And you're maybe directed by your skills to see it, and some others won't. Behavioral control. I thought this was a fascinating story. Thousands of, quote, warm banks opened in the UK. With 16 million Brits unable to heat their homes, public spaces have been opened. And this is a whole organization that the Coalition of Christian Groups, the Warm Welcome Campaign, has seen community organizations, churches, libraries, and businesses open their doors to people desperate to come in from the cold. Some of these spaces offer free tea and space to work, and according to the report, The National, on a Saturday, many are a third or even half full. Quote, there's little doubt that we are heading towards a moment of crisis this winter in the face of energy and fuel inflation. Again, economic war attack, Christian activist Carl Beach stated on the campaign's website. Quote, people will be facing a stark choice between food and warmth. Creating warmth in super welcoming spaces is going to be an absolute necessity. Well, if that's all that it is, but folks, look at the desperateness of this. So the austerity imposed upon you, the war on those people, this is all self-inflicted. You listen very carefully. They're telling us, no, it is self-inflicted, as I've been saying it had to be. These people there, and not just in Britain, are suffering already. And so this is how they get a people down to where now the behavior is, I'm going to go join up in these warm places. They look past the fact that people are being forced there because their lives have been destroyed. They can't keep up. And it ameliorates that a little bit. And you get a little warm feeling that people are helping each other, which I appreciate hearing. But it doesn't, again, it's the you're affecting the effect, not the cause. And so, again, I keep saying, we've got to be careful on being lulled into certain things. Thousands of warm banks opened in UK. It was I looked at that and I was shaking my head. I cannot believe that we are seeing this kind of thing and the people allow that to themselves. As behavioral controls and rising up can cause, I reported on this a bit, and now we see a response, although, again, for now, Iran abolishes morality police. So these Google behavioral control freaks, these so-called morality police that you see in the internet, wanting to adjust and teach you the better behavior. I think, don't they do that in China? Re-education camps? Okay. So Iran abolishes the morality police. The country has been gripped by violent protests after the death of a woman who allegedly wore an improper hijab. Iran has disbanded its morality police. Mohammad Javar Montazeri, the nation's attorney general, confirmed on Saturday. This comes as the country has been embroiled in weeks of violent anti-government protests over the death of a young woman detained by police. You'll read the cops are saying that she had a pre-existing thing. Okay, fine. The point is that this fired people up. I reported on it. I know I just kind of go through it quickly. I thought it was very important. Those morality police are now down, pushed down, away. I think for now, people have to stay standing up about this. And this is, again, the example of what happens when the government goes too far. The people have a power. You do have to do it. It is a difficult one, but because you have to do it together. And you have to, this was across the board. All the women across the board finally had enough to say, that's just going to stop. Hope, in a way, I don't know about hopefully, I guess it's a hope. And again, there's so much involved in people's beliefs and faith and systems that this gets worked out into an amicable condition so that people are not warring against themselves. I don't know where they are. I don't know about their governments, but the people are being oppressed, it seems, everywhere by any kind of measure. And this is coming out to the top. In a way, the internet's giving us the ability to see that. And I got that story off of RT, of all places. I didn't get that off of a United States website of news. So moving over to now more oppression and more harm. I can't believe this continues, and maybe it's slowly coming, the awareness and response to these atrocities and abominations is coming around, and people are just now coming to the clarity of what it is, and that we definitely need to call it out and start to move against it. Israel bans entry of medical equipment into Gaza. Like, these stories, I can't even believe I'm reading them. Where did people go in this world that we would do that to other people and think that would be okay? Is just a mind blower for me, actually. Just completely out of my psyche that you would, and I don't want to go off too far, that the people that on Twitter were following Elon Musk's car, plane, and then they started to say where he was, and then he gets attacked, and then people get mad at him, and then they start posting where he is after knowing he got attacked by somebody. That's got to be the most abominable mind, evil in mind I've ever seen. That I didn't think I lived in a place that was quite that bad. You literally know he's going to be targeted, so you tell other people where he is, so that might happen. Well, Israel bans, these people are, this is an insanity. Israel bans entry of medical equipment to Gaza. Who would do such a thing? Ministry of Health in Gaza has held a press conference near the Israeli-controlled Erez crossing in northern Gaza. The aim was to demand the entry of badly needed medical equipment and diagnostic devices into the blockaded Gaza Strip. Now, I don't know if I want to read more. It's just this infuriating in a way. International law says you don't mess with about 7 or 8 different things. One of them's the hospitals and treating people medically. You don't attack people. You go after the militaries. You go after military infrastructure. Oh, listen to Russia. That's what they're doing. You don't go after people. Oh, like Ukraine. Israel, this was a plan of Israel. You go after the people. You take out their medical. How do you do that? What kind of a soul do you have that you do that to someone? Anyway, it's going on. But it may not be for long, as this kind of action in the world, I hope, is finally coming to scrutiny, and we'll have people finally moving in effective ways, not just this word salad that they throw out, where Israeli blockades will stop medical devices, medical parts to fix the devices they have. Just an abomination. I can't even think more. Lawmakers condemn impunity given to Israel by EU. And so this is becoming a fracture now, this double standard, this hypocritic standard, or lack of one, I suppose, and then accountability, I hope, is the word coming. I hope that's coming. The accountability, not as a word, but as an action. People are talking about it now. I don't know if they understand what that means, and I don't understand if they understand how to affect that. They want to hand that accountability to someone who's already been proven to not be able to do a thing, typically if the United States is in the political parties. But at any rate, we saw every jurisdiction not stand up to the law with the law to protect people doing the COVID swindle. So the lawmakers are also a problem. Exactly, the executive is the problem. The lawmakers are another problem where they watched that and didn't fix it. We might be seeing the porcelain cracking here. EU legislators have been told that 2022 has been the deadliest year for Palestinians in the besieged West Bank since 2005. Apparently, Israel continues to kill and grab land, knowing there will be no consequences from the West Bank, as the EU, part of the legislators, are now identifying this is a absolutely abhorrent treatment on the heels of that medical device story that I've kind of been hanging on to over weeks because there's just so much information to get through, as we now see the Jewish people themselves are, maybe they're embarrassed as well. Israel's support is a threat to the American Jewish community, Ben Ami warns. J Street CEO announces major pivot in advocacy for restricting U.S. aid to Israel over its human rights abuses. He calls for his view on what should be abandoned in doing the right thing that he sees there, and it's certainly to stop killing Palestinians. Stop making it look like you have some defense when you're actually defenseless what you do. So even within inside of the Jewish community, this is not flying anymore. And so this accountability, I hope, is finally coming home within people to cause it to happen, not just to talk about it. I guess I read these things, all this information, cool stuff, information that gives us a perspective that I think people need. We need to see everyone's perspective. Even if it's horrendous, we still need to see that. But in a way, like Keith Olbermann, I'd like to hear how abominable his thoughts are. That he would literally target somebody with a tool for harm. Where does that come from? These people need to be banished. Put on an island. I don't want to kill them. Put them on an island and let them fend for themselves on the island away from us. And so, inside the Jewish community, there's a whole lot of people that are not liking the abuse and the lack of humanity, if you will, that are given to people that were on the land there and displaced by a Western function and supported. Stop funding them, right? That's what he's saying. Stop funding and do the economic starvation to stop what they're doing that harms people. UN demands that people are moving around to look at this little pipsqueak again. UN demands Israel surrender its nuclear arsenal. So whether or not I agree that the United Nations General Assembly is really anybody, anything, that it wasn't set up to be set up for the takedown for Western views, irrelevant to that, people in the organization are finally coming together who make these more direct attacks on oppression. And I can't welcome it more. I mean, this is it's reflective on us in the United States. The UN General Assembly on Wednesday voted with an overwhelming majority on a resolution calling for Israel to get rid of its nuclear weapons and place its nuclear sites under supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Now, I think that's a thing to do. But remember, these agencies seem to be set up in order to do the Western imposition. They're a prejudicial organizations. I've reported on that, I think, a couple weeks ago, how the agencies are used. The UN is used. I've talked about the problem we saw in history looking back at the Congo, the Republic of Congo. The UN went in as a peacekeeper, and they ended up taking that country down. The United States was behind it. Britain was behind it. It was a democratic republic modeled after the United States, and the United States went and took it out. So again, we see these hypocritical conditions. It's really not hypocritical. These are the underpinnings of what, contrary to what we were told, our perception management of what, in telling us and giving us an information that, let's say, the United States is the beacon of something. It's the beacon not of freedom, I can tell you that, just like the EU is not a beacon of free speech or democracy, even though they attack Russia for attacking Ukraine and trying to get rid of Nazism. Fascinating hypocrisy going on. And it's all being exposed now. And I hope the word accountability comes to mind and that it gets beyond the word. We start to do things. And I mean more proper. I see lots of people saying lots of things like Nuremberg and this and that. For the United States, you really got to look at what Nuremberg was. It's really not relevant in a way to us. We have to find a different, more substantial form to go after, I think. It's a good reflection of what the United States, what the UN did, United Nations did in a way, the nations of the world looking at what was an atrocity. But remember, the United States, what was it? Operation Paperclip was it? We brought in all the Nazi scientists? We've been functioning on with all that? Like, this is the Fourth Reich? So, and then we support by not denouncing Nazism today. We have proof of that. I've reported on that again, but we have proof again coming in. But the General Assembly said, no, Israel, you're going to show us your nuclear weapons, and we're going to stop this, try to head this problem, this nuclear threat that you pose off, and your denial. And so again, it's an overwhelming sentiment, and nations are not bashful now. Something broke. Russia caused something to break in the United Nations that you're now seeing more people, more countries, I say people, but they're countries, representatives of the countries, not being too bashful to go ahead against sacred cows. Trudeau regime, moving over, taking on this idea that they're going to deny you care, would rather, because it costs too much, or they just want to get rid of you, because you're just in the way. Trudeau regime orders disabled veteran to be euthanized because she costs the state too much money. So now the state cries poor mouth. Oh, the United States can go into full faith and credit. That shouldn't be anything about that. And then they created toxic debt, which is monetizing fraud. Where do you think your money come from? It doesn't come from fraud. What's the question here? But go to Canada and they're going to say the country doesn't have enough money to help a disabled vet. No, we can euthanize you now that it's legal for the government to do that. Not capital punishment. You asked us for it. We put you in a place where your life is so destitute that if your warm banks don't help you, you get to come to us and we'll get rid of your problem. But just by ending you. The disabled veteran in Canada has revealed the Trudeau regime pressured her to be euthanized because she didn't have enough money to afford a wheelchair lift in her home. And so this is where you start to see the effect of the government not providing health care. To me, this is no different than denying medical devices to hospitals in Palestine. Do you see that too? I hope so. This is what it is all going into the future they want. They want people to be pressed and depressed, and they have all the technology to make them that way, to just say, pull my plug. And then we may have Soylent Green. And we move into the United States. Do they care? Absolutely not. Well, not just providing no care, they will give wrong care, and then they come up with an excuse. National Guard gives service members COVID-19 vaccine instead of influenza shot. These aren't the veterans that are retired or disabled. These are the living ones. National Guard gives service members COVID-19 vaccine instead of influenza shot. There was two shots to be given. Influenza was one. Again, the efficacy of all that is now, everything in medical science has now been thrown open to question. Notwithstanding that, the government in the United States could care less about caring about the wishes of its soldiers. It's going to deny proper care to its soldiers and possibly put them on the path to euthanize themselves, essentially. The National Guard administered COVID-19 vaccines. Remember, there is no such thing. There is no vax. As a matter of law, there is no vax. Go read your local communicable disease law. Administered the COVID juice to multiple service members who were lined up for the influenza vaccine, including the a member who objected to COVID-19 vaccine on religious grounds, according to officials and one of the members. So the upshot of this is the government said it was a mistake. It never happens. Well, it did happen, and they didn't do it intentionally. It's hard to know. The problem is they're not caring enough. They don't care about the veterans. They don't care about them before they're veterans. They are just fodder. Everyone is fodder for this new direction that got taken. And again, I keep telling you about this Operation Warp Speed. The military was done. These so-called the vaccines they said that they were developing were a military veterinary answer early on that got translated out. I did that report years ago to show you that why you see the authorities coming through where you do. And so for the United States, you're passing all this, you're doing all this and getting violated left and right. I don't know more to say about that story. The United States doesn't care about you. If you thought it did, if that was an example of that it cares about its veterans, the veterans know that they're not cared for much. Some guys get good care. Some guys have to fight to get good care. A lot of people don't. And the United States has got a very high incidence of suicide as well. Another euthanizing type of measure, if you will, what the future they want to go through and then they limit their liability to all that as well. And the example that poses to other people, it's not good, promo to see lots of hurt people come home and having to have care. So the fewer the better, I would suppose, in that regard. But when you're passing, now you're in care and you think this electronic realm is a protection, or they say that they got rules of protection, and everyone was citing to it relative to the COVID swindle. And when you're talking to doctors and going online, and then they focus you, that's all you can do. Your care is going to be online. How that is, I don't know, but that's what they think they're going to do. And so this story came up interesting to me. The information passing around between all the people that are sick in the world or in the United States, can a patient sue for a HIPAA violation? And this is the information, the act that was supposed to protect your information when you give it online, and the third parties that have it are not supposed to give it out. This is an interesting insight for those of you that think you're protected by HIPAA provisions, because a lot of that came up with the COVID swindle responses in people. I said that you don't want to go there. That might be something you can throw out, but it's not something substantial. In fact, you'll see that this is not something. Well, you can make lots of administrative complaints, but the HIPAA offers no remedy in itself. It's not an action-bearing act. And to me, I would look at this and say, you read this story and you find out it doesn't do but get you into more harm and trouble and frustration. I would not give information over the internet based on this act. I would deny myself the ability to use the internet to do this because that act doesn't protect you. You'll eventually find that you have to go, the federal law requires you likely have to go to the state to go after the particular licensee that violates you. Anyway, there's more I could talk about if I had the time. You can see it yourself. I'm sure that my listeners are intelligent. Read through this thing. Understand the limitation of HIPAA. That's where you thought your health information was private and protectable. There's nothing you can do through that act. You have to find other avenues. As I've told you, you got to go look around to find what your legal action would be. Likely it's going to be at your state level, your state law level for licensees. And then you have to find the violation that the state law allows. Okay, so now I hope you're listening to a little bit of a prison there. Your relief and remedy is through administrative provisions that are futile, actually, and yet we consider that to be substantial, despite the Constitution that says relief is required for harm. They don't determine that your personal information bled out somewhere, leaked somewhere, is going to be a harm enough. And so, read this article. It's very important to understand, again, what people want to rely on. You think, oh, I'm going to be protected, and you're actually not. Don't turn away from the fact that you're not. Understand it, and then just deny this to the future in you. Just don't let them put you through this. As these problems, I said, are coming back, the endless diseases, this ongoing nonsense, because no one wants to shut it down with their local law, reoccurring threat to reimpose a broad mask mandate in Los Angeles County. I was hoping I wouldn't have to discuss a little bit of this. We won't go too far into it. I just want to remind us all, this was coming back. Here they're coming back with it now in L.A. County, okay? And I want to remind you all what I've been saying. Those of you that are there and anywhere else, you hit them with the fact that they are already in doing mitigation measures and treatment, so-called. Don't even have to argue that this won't work, that masks are like trying to stop a killer beehive attack with a chain-link fence. You don't have to go there. You say for you that the mandates of the local communicable disease law have not been met, and therefore they have no jurisdiction to make this discussion for you. Every one of you have to do that there. And then you press them for that. And then, if they want to press it on, you then have the habeas, which is an unlawful restraint of your liberty. It's in the nature, as I found out, and as you heard me read, in the nature of a common law, of original trespass and assault upon you for someone to act without jurisdiction or authority, in this case both, in order to do anything to you, to stop you from freely moving about freely. And this is not that hard a complaint to do. It's strictly going to your local communicable disease law, finding the duties the legislature imposed upon the executive official, and say they haven't been done. You don't have, until you do this, you don't have the authority to tell anybody to do anything. And then it's not everybody, it's only those you find to be an infectious principal, the carrier of an infectious agent, the proof of which is in a known test. And for COVID, there's two problems there. Not just that scientifically that there is no test, but COVID is common cold. That's not a mandate. There's no actionable communicable disease in the common cold, neither in seasonal influenza, which we heard the National Guard misgive the vaccine for. Must have been A or B or both. It's probably multivalent. And so when you understand a little bit more, and I didn't coming into this 3 or so years ago, I didn't. But you heard me come on to you every week to say, here it is, what I am learning. And you can too, and then here's where your remedy is for this kind of oppression and tyranny. It's reoccurring, folks. It's going to be nonstop until people step up in the right way. Then throw it off, like they've gotten the government to back off in San Francisco. I'm telling you to do it a little bit different than what's happening in San Francisco, to back off a killer robot for now. When you come the way I say, they can't into the future forever until they do the due process required for the police power they've intended to wield. So, proven, they're coming back. Los Angeles is touching on reoccurring masks. Forget that it's about the mask. Forget that it's like they can't do anything. Just attack them for the fact they don't have a jurisdiction or power to make that suggestion until they put each one of you through the legislative required due process. And then you attack them, the fact that there is no test. If they say it's COVID, you say, well, there is no the virus. That's a novel, invented chemical weapon. So what are you talking about here? Why don't you go arrest those people who made it? That'll prevent and stop it. I haven't said that in a long time. I don't know why. See, the answer to this is to arrest those that made the chemical weapon. That's a biological weapon that's prohibited. It has no due use. They've admitted it can't prevent and control. It violates another duty within the local jurisdiction that they can move on. They should be going to the Attorney General. And I'm adding to you another level of how this thing is actually supposed to work that I haven't talked about at all. I don't know if at all. I've mentioned it a couple times. But when they find that this thing will not prevent and control, it becomes a chemical weapon, That official needs to say, this is our vector. This war crime is our vector. We have the power to stop that, not attack our people. As we find, as I said, they've agreed, and now we're coming under scrutiny. Accountability may be at hand. I hope the real one, not the word, in just a word. But Pfizer, the P's are silent here. Pfizer, CEO, who said online that misinformation is criminal, is found guilty of misleading vaccine statements. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, and I think this guy was a vet, so this is another connection to that veterinary thing. Moving on here, without my proof of that for you, you can check the veracity of that out. And if it is a veterinary, wow, that's pretty neat, huh? Albert Bourla, last year at the Atlantic Council, called people who spread COVID-19 vaccine and misinformation criminals in his calls for censorship of misinformation online. However, this year, Dr. Bourla is himself found responsible by the UK's pharmaceutical regulator of making misleading statements about vaccination of children. I'll let you read the rest of this. Again, that pharmaceutical regulator is agreeing it's a vaccination. Under a communicable disease law, if you say that this treatment called a vaccine is to prevent and control and must have an organic biology part in it, whether it's attenuated or not, if it has to have that biological part, these are by definition, as a matter of law, they cannot be vaccines. So you just go by your communicable disease law. This is not about your opinion. This is not even a euphemism of trying to defend yourself against a killer beehive using a chain link fence called a mask. No, it has to do with going to the bottom line basics of what a limited government is supposed to work and where they work to best serve the public. And when they move contrary to that, that's an oppression. Deprivation of rights, whatever you want to call it in your locale. So here we have the guy, the veterinary CEO of Pfizer, is found to be passing misinformation himself. Now, confined to children, whatever. The point is, you can go back through and identify what I'm saying and keep that back on there. And now you have a nice, concise, really a summary, a statement, a nice little paragraph to show how nobody can speak to you until these questions are answered affirmatively under law, due process. The lack of which is your ability to use a habeas or maybe even a lawsuit for false imprisonment in the failure. And the objective basis will be those duties that have not been proven out. And they affect you without warrant. So I'm giving you quite a bit of ways to go at this if we only would. Someone chose a different path. Very interesting here. Anti-vaxxer, so-called anti-vaxxer nurse, who injected up to 8,600 elderly patients with salt water instead of COVID vaccine, walks free from court in Germany. Astounding here. She actually took a bit of a plea bargain. However, this was her answer, where she could, to inject, they claim, 8,600 elderly patients. I read through this story, and I couldn't find that they had actually proven that. I think she just agreed that that was going on. People from afar, if you will, in the room, afar, noticed some problems. The point is, this is what someone who was a Red Cross nurse, Anta J, 39, jabbed thousands of elderly patients at a vaccine center in Germany with what she told them was the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine, but was just a salt solution. And so this reminded me to tell you, and we all know who have a skeptical view, how do we know that the salt solution wasn't given to every so-called leader who was promoting you into taking this and your family to be the clot shot, now we know. And it's really not blood clots from what I can tell. This seems to be more of a protein construct. It's kind of interesting. I don't know that anybody's tested that quite yet, but it doesn't matter. This is not what they said it was. And you don't even have to have an opinion about that more than to say there's no jurisdiction for anybody to tell you have to do anything. Because they haven't done the steps in the law required that give them the authority to tell anybody. And anyone, not everybody. So this nurse was, that was the way she helped, I suppose. They did say, though, and I was sad to see, they went back through, the government went back through to tell people that they only were given a salt water, a saline solution injection, and were told to get another one. That terrified me a bit, because how do they know that for sure? Because they didn't really prove that she had done that, actually. How do they know that everyone didn't already get the jab? They didn't even talk about that part of it. And so you have to be careful about for yourself. And again, what I'm telling you to do relative to communicable disease law for anybody coming, something at you says that you have to have a vaccine is to go back to your basic law and say, where did you do these four, five, six steps, whatever they are in your state or country? Recognizing also that the public official does not have jurisdiction. It's your doctor that has jurisdiction over you and your care to the limit that you agree. And as long as that agreement doesn't cause a potential in the public, your disagreement doesn't cause a potential problem in the public, the government official has no authority either. And this is where the guiding line is for all of us if we would have just done it. Now, based on these so-called vaxes that don't really exist, as a matter of law, folks, there is no vax. It just doesn't exist as a matter of local law. So this is all a fraud perpetrated upon us. And because of the now notice and the awareness that people are getting now and to respond and protect themselves, it's now become a question, and we saw this kind of came through with the determination of pure blood, tainted blood. COVID skeptics request blood transfusion from unvaccinated donors. So the title is tainted COVID skeptics. I'm not skeptical. Just give me the due process you were supposed to do. There's no skeptical. You're a criminal telling me to do this. I'm not a skeptic about that. The nation's roiling tensions over vaccinations against COVID-19 have spilled into an unexpected arena, life-saving blood transfusions. So people are not agreeing now to get blood from people and are insisting that they get blood that doesn't come from people that had the vaccine. You have to read very carefully here on these blood banks. They may not have much of a, well, they're not interested to find and separate it out in the main body of the donations they have. You may have to get it yourself, and there are people setting up banks in order to do that. Now, caution, and I didn't have the time to look at this a little bit more than to say my answer to you before in the last 15 or 20 minutes would be the thing these mother and father should have said, and they didn't. But where someone stepped up to protect their baby, then the power of the rights of child within the power of the state to determine, and they walked themselves in through New Zealand to do this, the mothers and fathers did. New Zealand court takes medical custody from parents who refused blood from vaxxed donors. And this is despite that they had a league of people to provide blood as an alternative. The system would not allow even that. And so there's to my mind, there's an appeal that can be made on that alone. They had alternatives ready to go. What I didn't understand and they didn't say was, they did tell us in this article that the blood, we think of blood, and I've only thought about blood and plasma. Apparently, this operation required a bunch of other products that needed, that couldn't be found to be that way. So I don't know what that problem was, but to me, plasma could have covered that. The reasonable thing to do is not take control of the mother's and father's son or daughter. I don't remember now what the case was here. Maybe their son. It would have been to reasonably allow for donations and whatever products they needed, whatever that cost would have been. And so we have a big problem here where you see the Bar Association members, in particular in New Zealand, not challenging whether or not the underlying authority existed and handing the authority over the care to the state. So here's your state care. They don't care whether or not they may inject this little one with something that's going to give it life-altering disabilities, lifelong disabilities, and or death on something that doesn't really affect them either. And that's now getting worked to the mitigation side. Why is that? Because the officials never determined that this little one was an infectious agent that was causing the epidemic within the region that they had jurisdiction over. Didn't do any of that. And a habeas corpus is actually required here, and I would bring the judge in on it, on lawful restraint, as well as the government agency. Now, I don't expect justice. What I'm expecting is the mothers and fathers move more properly to show people these are the mechanisms to show what the law should say and watch your officials deny even that. Why? Because you never heard me say that these officials follow the law, that we can trust any of them at any time. I'm waiting for all you all to stop complaining that they don't follow the law and start bringing accountability for the fact that they don't. How we do that, I guess that's wide open. But I haven't heard a decent plan yet, and I'm kind of looking around to wait. What I've been trying hasn't been embraced. And so I'm kind of waiting, in a way, for another example that looks better. International Blood Bank for the Unvaccinated has been formed with members from at least 16 countries. Demand for pure blood skyrockets. And so this is a big deal. Lots of people go international now with this. You may, if you're interested, you may want to go ahead and find out how to get yourself involved in something like this. I don't, despite what they did in New Zealand, I think a better addressment and a more forceful review by the people overseeing that corruption in that state, in that country, that's allowed all this, the pretext and pretense to pull this off, is going to be needed. And then you act independently of all this. And hopefully you'll find doctors that'll move this through. They had their reasons for not doing it, but it didn't look valid to me. When we could see that there's people, doctors and people want to give blood and facilities to make whatever products they needed that were different. And now we're watching how they divided the whole world between the so-called pure bloods and those that are not. And this is a probably more insidious thing that's going on, running under the skin of us as people, people everywhere, folks. This is not a very simple problem we're facing right now. But moving farther on, finding nature, again, we got to do all this man-made nonsense, and we got to defend ourselves against man-made nonsense. We have to go to other people for this plasma or blood that we need, and there's some people that say don't do that at all, and I'm wondering, you know, a long time ago I wondered why would you say that, because it's life-saving, if you will. But there's reasons why you don't want to take someone's blood. Maybe you want to investigate from that. Plasma seemed like a decent alternative, but now today with this chemical weapon style attack, we don't really know. We have to do more studies. No one's going to look at those that are of any kind of the system. So we've got a little bit of a problem, but if we leave it, we're not as advanced apparently as a clam that becomes the first known animal to make its own antibiotic. Fascinating story. I think I see some of this in hot dogs. Erythromycin. Is that true? Erythromycin is a type of antibiotic used to treat a number of bacterial infections, and until now, the antibiotic was thought to be only made by Antinobacterium. Researchers are now revealing an unlikely animal which synthesizes its own erythromycin. The Asiatic hard clam has been found by researchers to make its own erythromycin. The clam is able to synthesize a complex antibiotic through a particular mucus-rich cells in their protective outer mantle tissue. The clam, which lives in mud flat environments, can synthesize, store, and secrete the antibiotic into bacterial-rich habitat where it lives. And so you read this, is a really cool story. Clam, Mother Nature can set you up and give you what you need. I wonder why we're so evolved we don't against this nonsense that we're facing. Well, man-made attack, maybe that's why. But getting back to this antibiotic, interesting, complex antibiotic, nature's own defense in a bacterially pathogenic environment, which is, you got to look at where the clam lives and how nature has figured that out. That was the question. I thought this was the more fascinating point. Scientists looked at the question, how is a clam able to live in a bacterial-laden pathogenic environment? How does it do that? And that question caused them to go look at the fact that the clam has its own natural protection. I thought that's cool. I hope you do too, because this is the stuff of nature that nature's out there provides. We just let it, and man seems to want to destroy, or man for his own greed and profit or control wants to destroy that. Doesn't want to look there first, wants to look at what they can make up, because that's what the system protected, commerce and private property in that regard. So you make this type of private property, you make it exclusive to you for profit, and then you wield, the agencies are bought and paid for, they can wield this destruction against you, and that takes away our ability, actually, to function like a clam, to defend ourselves as we conceive. What's happening when vaccines, so-called, were started back in, I think it was London, in 1853 or so, and how people's immunity were being attacked, their immune system were being attacked by lots of vector of pathogens, and over centuries, our bodies developed resistance till today. Well, the vaccines came in at the same time, and they took credit for that natural response that bodies create. Then they hacked that system to create this protein derivative. Remember, mucus and collagen and protein is where this clam makes that stuff. That's what they hacked in our system. They gave an instruction set to a cell, and the cell said, okay, I'll just take it on and make my hybrid, and I'll just go ahead and make this substance. And they figured out a delivery system that got past the four steps. That's why they have four lipids. Four steps to get to the cell to do that. As they pass through and shed each lipid layer, The cell thinks it's okay. It brings it in. Finally, it gets to the instruction set, and the body just makes that protein. And that protein happens to be a venom of some sort in general. Gut epithelial barrier damage caused by dishwasher detergents and rinse aids. So where the clam can sit in a bacterially infected pathological environment and survive, because it has its own care system, we, man-made, make stuff that actually can hurt us. Interestingly, it goes to our gut to do it. Again, I've been saying that your gut health is very important. Keeping track of all that if you can. I mean, nature does a good job if you just give it a chance. Very difficult anymore with GMOs and pesticides, persistent chemicals of all kinds of nature, and then our inability to get the proper nutrition, if that's possible, and our lack of ability to keep track of all that is that we get overwhelmed. But anyway, gut epithelial barrier damaged by dishwasher detergents, specifically the rinse agents. We sought to investigate the effects of professional and household dishwashers and rinse agents on cytotoxicity, barrier function, transcriptome, and protein expression in gastrointestinal epithelial cells. And so they go through and expose these dishwasher chemicals or destroy the layers, and just like almost looks like to me like the mRNA in a way, but in reverse. And they show that the chemicals that we put in our life are not tested, and we may be taking them on, and they're so efficient and so easy to do, and yet they're actually harming us over time. If they're taking out our ability for our gut to do the proper nutrition, we're going to see health problems, and that can be jumped on by a new technology. Again, this could be like a binary weapon. How did we know? Maybe it wasn't, but that's how it started to work. It defeats your system for being healthy. Where a clam can make an antibiotic, you can't, and your body is being attacked by your neighbors, by their skill, convincing you to use this stuff. Go to the new normal. Abandon the old tried and true ways that kept everybody fairly healthy, it seemed. They could certainly seemingly do a lot more work. I'm astounded at what a miner used to do that I just wouldn't put up with relative to digging in hard rock. And it wasn't even a prison, they didn't think. At any rate, yeah, our bodies just didn't seem to hold up, and robots were going to make it easier for us. I guess it was supposed to compensate. But so we have chemicals that are destroying our ability to do nutrition, destroying our ability to have a healthy immune system, not even as good as a clam. We're supposed to be so evolved, folks. But we also find a story, exposure to radio frequencies within 5G causes depression, a new study finds. I won't go too deep. This is not the 5G band. This is not the high the millimeter wave. This is down around where your high-speed internet stuff is, your routers at 4.9 gigahertz. It was shown to cause depression and some other things. You want to look at this. My point on this is because if you have this around you and you don't take measures to protect yourself, and you become depressed or more and more depressed, or your little ones are reusing it in their hands all the time, they can become depressed, and then they go into what? They go to Canada, where the government says, well, you're feeling bad? You want to do this euthanasia program? Here's a little game. Here, put this helmet on. It'll be exciting. It'll be real. It'll explode when you do it wrong. And so the depressed one is driven there by technology. And I suspect when your gut is not performing, you're going to be driven there as well. Your body's just not able to keep up with all the things that it does naturally and normally and all by itself without anybody's intervention. It's really fascinating, that part. But exposure to radio frequencies within 5G ranges cause depression. I want to also point out this frequency spectrum. Different frequencies affect different sizes and distances that can be considered radiator antennas. Cell things, cell dimensions, resonance, and all that. So this study found for 4.9 gigahertz. They also found some at the 900 megahertz. See, there are different things that go on with different frequencies. There's going to be differences even so when they get into the millimeter waves, where 5G ultimately, the actual, what they tell us, maybe it would be 6G, maybe 7 or 8G. That's where those frequencies are going to be doing, and those are going to be smaller segments and diameters and cells as well, smaller and smaller, affecting more and more of the biological processes, I would think, if we're already seeing this. So understand that where they talk about what it affects here, it shifts as the frequencies change, and also the intensity and how they fire it, how the digital technology comes out and how it gets to where it goes. The amount of power coming from these little bitty phones when it's pulsed is just astounding to me. how you can pick it up in speakers and stuff at such a distance is a little bit scary in a way, although our bodies are pretty resilient. Oh, where, there's that word. Yeah, they can handle some of this stuff, and if you keep your health up, your body does that fairly well. But with all these intense views, like on your phone, and the emanations coming from it, it's going to be, well, we're seeing the effect of it right now, finally. The awareness is coming, and you can make that decision for yourself, as we also find the chemicals that man makes is the chemical attack nature. The clam can defend itself from being in a fully biologically pathogenic environment. It survives just fine. We get a little bit of word that there's a common cold out there, and we go freak out. But maybe it was also the receptiveness as we start watching our little babies getting sick, because the nanoparticles from food additives can reach babies in the womb and cause food allergies. And asthma, no doubt, and your breathing apparatus kind of has a problem, and they call that a COVID, right? No, it's from all this other environmental harm that's going on. And the nanotechnology that we use, which is really fascinating technology, amazing stuff comes from it, but there's the good and the bad, I suppose. Nanotechnology has rapidly transformed food production, manufacturing, and processing in recent years with the goal of enhancing food safety and health. So here we have the technocrats in your food already. Why they did it? They're enhancing for food safety and health, which is never your safety and your health. Remember that. You'll see if you read through the stories, you'll watch how they don't. The only enhancement is your dis-ease, ultimately. So your womb, these nanoparticles are small to pass through your womb, through your placenta, essentially, and then into the baby. This was telegraphed a little bit in the treatments, the gene therapy treatments, passing through into the through the milk to your baby as well. And then you saw you see the evidence of the death and destruction of the babies and the stillbirths that we talked about, and the mothers having problems. But nanotechnology has rapidly transformed food production to enhance your food safety and health. However, new research suggests the use of making food safer could have unexpected health consequences for babies. An international team has found evidence of nanoparticles can cross the placenta during pregnancy and reach the fetus, putting infants at higher risk of developing potentially life-threatening food allergies after birth. Due to the immunotoxic and biocidal properties of nanoparticles, exposure may disrupt the host intestinal microbiota's beneficial exchanges and may interfere with intestinal barrier and gut-associated immune system development in fetuses neonate, says the corresponding author, Dr. Karen Adel Patient, neat name. In a medical release, quote, this may be linked to the epidemic of immune-related disorders in children, such as food allergies, a major public health concern. Apparently not as high as Kobe Swindle. So understand that there, too. That's not an epidemic. No, the FDA, the CDC, the local health officials, lets all this pass under this pretense and pretext of health and safety enhancement. You just got to understand this language. French, and all this moving on to now, the cost of austerity, they're beating you down with the food, they affect you, your food you're getting in, you're not being healthy just from the food. It starts before you even come out to be anybody. French, a supermarket now urged to raise the food prices. So they want to make the cost of that going on because of, they call this, the problem of this food insecurity, the lack of supply chain in France. The spiraling inflation is not enough to cover soaring production costs, food producers say. So they're using it as the pretext of all this that happened with Kobe fraud to come in and say, well, inflation, yeah, you got to suffer that too, but we want more. The producers want more profit. And the price hikes are coming to 15 to 25% above what they're already doing, coming to you in France. And so this is what you watch. They use the pretext to move this along. And when nobody stopped it, immediately, as I suggested, there was at least one way. When no one tried that way and no one stopped it anywhere, no one had that idea anywhere, which is a scary thought when I saw it, when no one had a thought about it and didn't exercise it. This is what they get to do to you around the world. And watch how this rolls out. And then this is all part of the plan to bring austerity, to bring hardship, to put you into place that you have to respond in certain ways, and you don't have a lot to respond with. And so you have to choose. That article about the warm spaces, you have to choose between eating or warmth. I hope you appreciate that level of control over our behavior there. The Dutch government, so this is all part of the sustainable future that they want, not ours, not abundance. There's no reason for any of this. The self-inflicted wounds tell us that there's no reason for this. The false and pretense and pretext excuses isn't helping us. The attack on free speech and getting information, calling good information misinformation, is not helping anybody. Yeah, we're starting to get aware of it, but it's been a lot late for my anticipation of us turning around. Then it, for us, one of the examples in Twitter, you see when someone becomes honest and wants to divulge information, black and white printed stuff, we get to see the evidence, right? But I don't know what that all ends up meaning ultimately, or to any one of us individually, but there it is. We have objective basis. When that's stifled, you can be led by the nose until you hurt yourself. And this gets me over to the sustainable, the behavioral stuff that they want to teach you, what they want, the future they want, and then you'll be acceptable in your behavior once they get your mind controlled. This thing over here now, they want the price in France to go up because they have a supply chain problem due to COVID, and then the Dutch government attempts to forcibly close 3,000 farms to comply with the green agenda in the Netherlands, likely where France gets their food and the production costs are rising. So, again, how people in these countries can't see how this plan is coming together and working fine against them, I don't know. But my question here, the Dutch farmers protesting for months over the government's radical green plan to slash nitrogen emissions by 50% to 95% could soon face forced buyouts of their land. I'll just stop there. You can read this story. First of all, in my mind, I read that. I said, well, why don't they take out the 21% in the atmosphere first? If they drop all that, maybe it'll be harder for us to get it from someplace else. But at any rate, the life responds, we breathe because there's 21% nitrogen in the air as a gas, but slash nitrogen emissions, they're going to steal and forcibly close 3,000 farms. My question, because I don't know, is folks in that country, what is your property rights? How is a governmental veneer able to do this to your land? And I did do a quick check, and there's eight. They have a closed system of property rights. It's only what the government tells them. Talk about a prison. But it's not so far-fetched. It covers pretty good. And one of them, and I can't remember exactly one of the last ones they mentioned in an article, looked to me like a savings clause that you might be able to use there to preclude the government, this veneer of government, from doing what they're doing. I don't know. Again, the problem is you can't use a tractor on a highway to protect your property rights that are being taken from you. Under the pretense of a nitrogen thing that will starve everybody to death when they do that. That France is already being told that the process of food is going to be more costly. Well, guess what, folks? It's not going to be available, I don't care how much money that you have, if you'll continue allowing this governmental imposition under the pretext of something called green, which is, we can go through, I don't want to go through all the things I've been talking about, what that is, the fraud. It's another fraud. So why go more? Identify it and then go to your property law. It seemed like the Dutch have a way to protect themselves, even so, to slow the process up. If not, they're not going to do it on their tractors. Anybody there can do that, send the message. Sit down, really, and look carefully at your laws. There may be the rights that you have the government can't take, or this veneer of government can't do either, and then they have to pay. They say they're going to pay you. How are they going to pay you for your life? How are you going to pay you to replace the food? That comes with all this. How are they going to pay you for the future activity you were supposed to do? How are they going to pay you for the differential? It's not just about the land that they're taking. You have rights in the property and appurtenant rights and the things that come with that. And if you have the right to acquire and the right to do things to acquire, that has got to be compensated for. And that alone could probably stifle this thing for a long, many, 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 many years, if not forever. As people are just not putting up with, you got to push yourself farther down. So to push this agenda, this global agenda, they're going to cut out your food. France is going to pay more. The manufacturer is telling you costing more. Well, and then they know in the Dutch, the second largest producer in the world, they're going to just stop doing production. And it's more important in Switzerland that that they went to this green issue and then find that they have a problem as well, where they, too, just like California did, when you see how the reality slaps them upside the head, Switzerland may ban EVs to avoid blackouts. Now, how is the Dutch, for green purposes, able to take food away from you folks when Switzerland already realizes we can't have you doing your EVs because we don't have enough electrical power? Why? Because we decided to attack Ukraine, use it as a pretext so we can switch our power consumption from the Russia to the United States and go green, which is not. The measure in part is an emergency plan to deal with power shortages this winter, all self-inflicted. So now they're telling you if you got to give an electric car, which is supposed to be green and efficient and promote this great living utopia, they're telling you don't do that. Just like they did in California. Well, how about if you don't do your EV? As I told you was going to happen, this is not green stuff. This is a control. This is a way to get you into monopolized use so that they can control. And until people step up and understand how that actually, they have no authority to do that and start railing in that regard, coming out not with your violence or even your protest or your peaceful protest, but the fact that the officials have no basis. And if you're not going to do by the law, the basis of the law, then you don't have a country. You don't have a government. You have a country, which is your people. The country is the people. That has to start speaking in its own law and its own future interpretation. As I say, you can talk about the Second Amendment. You can even talk about using the Second Amendment. It's likely not going to fix this problem until we get a better thought that we ought not go to the Second Amendment. We should fix this a little differently. Because that Second Amendment is the ultimate answer to a problem you can't solve and the end is not determined. I would like us to do a bit more intelligent approach so that we don't have to do this again. Not for now, but forever do we not have to address these tyrants. Part of this, where this led us, this reality that slaps countries upside the head, the dark origins of the Davos Great Reset. Some of you who hear it and know about it and can recite Klaus Schwab and all that, you may not understand the underpinnings. Like someone like Niki Rapana would tell you in just comprehensive note. There's an article here, The Dark Origin of the Davos Great Reset, that I'm going to add to the links. I want you to read it because it's a concise little summary of who the players are involved. And you see, and they say here that Klaus Schwab is just a puppet up front as well. This is a much deeper connection and its lineage is much longer. And you really do have to understand a bit of this, and this would be nice if you didn't have an idea, haven't read it before, found out where it comes from, all the places it comes from, and how long it's come from there, and then the reasons, you'll be able to maybe understand better what I look at, why I go where I go to explain what you can do, methodologies to at least neutralize it for the time being, if not end it. That this, again, knowing the history of how these people formed up, and who the players are, and their actual positions, demystifies a lot of this, and then hopefully you look through that, and it won't take you like decades, as Niki Rapana would have researched, to out this thing when it wasn't understood, as I was coming onto it as well. Look at this system that we sued in 2013 to show, at least highlight it. Again, the corruption will not stop itself, and without a lot of people interested, there's not going to go too much further, but we did make that record. She made the record. Anybody who wants to read it can see it. This is a concise record of a small history of who these people are that have driven us into where the EU can say to Judge Farmer, you can't use your land. And essentially, they don't know how to respond to that because they went out in tractors. It might be a good initial response, but it's not the more permanent response. And I'm asking people to understand better what that might be. And if you don't have it as the people, you better make it. You better make the permanent response if it's not already in your laws. No joke, climate change professionals now provide goals and individual allowances for transportation, food, and clothing. If you don't shut it down, you get the mini kings and queens that'll come along and tell you what you get to do in this carbon-traded future. It didn't go away. They went to Adam's. Not the one from Eve, with Eve in the Garden of Eden. These are carbon atoms, and it's going to go nitrogen atoms. All this is going to be accountable now and put into the system for commerce. And you'll see where these people, the dark underbelly of these puppets that are now coming to bear on this underpinnings of a crime against us. The carbon trading is the economic platform to generate government income. The income then drives the carbon control financial mechanism that will be deployed to people. The end of the financial lane, we arrive at the world with the central bank digital currencies. The digital money provides instant control over spending and carbon resource allocation. It's all fraud made up, as I said, in 2008, 2009, when they monetized fraud, they monetized the future of the world. Now they move anything in, they monetize anything, they chose carbon because that's it's carbon-based life here, and then they go ahead and regulate it through the technocratic controls of your phone. The BIS sits on top of all with their immunity, and the central banks come in through there with all this connected trust system that they set up that's intangible. You can never get at it. But now these people that are in the control are making your allocation for the future. One of the points that caught my eye, we got a little chart. I think you get to choose now three articles of clothing a year in this future they want. This is how, what kind of a mental instability is that they actually got that finite? But anyway, they do. And they have, now they're laying it out for us. And I know it sounds ridiculous. This is not something to laugh at. They're serious about doing this. If they're going to take 3,000 farms out in the Netherlands, they're going to take you out. They don't care. And we're letting it at some level. And I said the only way we can go after that is not with our pitchforks and torches in the sense of the, you know, we know the figurative part. Those pitchforks and torches are ineffective. You have to go back into what they claimed was the organic establishment of your government for the people, by the people, everywhere, not just the United States, and say this is not for or by us. And if there's nothing in our local law that says it is, we make that point, and then we assert our power and we hold it so that it never comes back on us, so that these little, who I don't know, bureaucrat, whoever mentality this guy, these people are, we're going to set up allocations for your food and transportation and clothing. One more that came to mind, you get to travel. They give you the ability to travel 938 miles in a year. Well, I don't know, that's not going to get us across the United States, if you can understand what that means then. If that's adopted. The point is, this is the seeding. This is the getting your behavior to conform to that at some point. These people want to dictate to your life to the finite degree. But when they get you on the point, the digital government GovCoin, they're going to be able to do this through the phone, through the digital system. As I'm hopeful here, the future that's coming up, the 18 to 35s are paying attention. I talked about this a while before. I don't know what, I can't remember now, Generation Z or somebody. They're not having it too much. The people that create these types of allocations, austerity, how you will live, the people that want to kill 3,000 farms and the rest of the people those farmers provide, which may be up to 20, maybe up to 20 times the people that the 3,000 farm people on the farms that they provide food to, maybe more, depends on the quality of their efficiency. Party for €387,000. EU project attracts only 6 guests. An EU attempt to raise awareness of its digital presence among younger political disengaged audiences has proven a disaster. A 24-hour beach party, so-called, in the metaverse was reportedly failed to connect, drawing just 6 attendees. I understand most of those were journalists looking and were wondered why they were the only ones in the chat room. But this, I want to just bring this up. These people are serious. They invest money in trying to promote the future, and I'm glad to see the youth, if you will. It is not really happening. What we need to have those youth understand, it's not just not to participate, but to actually actively work against. Remember Greta? Yeah, like her, but actually on the right side. Not as a puppet for these lunatics that follow the dark side of the agenda that Klaus Schwab is only the figurehead for. He's a salesman of sorts. But so they actually put money. This is the European Commission of Foreign Aid Department put money, €387,000, to make a digital party, a lot of money into digital infrastructure, and it failed. And I was glad to see that because we're going to need the younger set to understand this as we move along. Some of us older folks, we're not going to be around. If you don't get it, when we're gone, you're going to lose memory. It's like I look at the miners, all the older miners. Vast amounts of experience and knowledge, and those guys are about done. We've only got a few more years with them, maybe 10. One guy I know is like 94 years old now. I mean, glad to hear he's still along and he does a great contribution, but his experience and his knowledge is gone when he goes. And so that's how another point of attrition with that these people, these lunatics, are counting on in a way. But anyway, glad to see the young are not going with it. It wasn't exciting. I don't know why where they went instead, but if this is an indication that they're not getting the response from the young, this is the we need to talk to those people and explain it's not just a party they're trying to have that they want you to attend. This is serious stuff. They're after your future. They're after your food. Your future is going to be they're trying to cause you to be depressed, that your future is no good, and we need to show them how if we get away from that, the future starts to look a lot better. Yeah, it's not perfection. It's life. But it's a lot better. It's not under constraint by some bean counter somewhere. The bean counter now moving into, I think it was Gary L. on the Suspect Sky Crew talking about, look at the Black Rocks and Black Stones and all this other stuff and the hedge fund, the investors of the world, the big trillion-dollar companies. He says when Vanguard does something, listen, it's like when Vanguard speaks, you better listen. This story came right up in the same week. I'm just getting to that. I think it was last week. Vanguard quits Climate Alliance and Blow to Net Zero Project. So as people are becoming more aware, it's not looking, the investment is not so attractive, but Vanguard didn't expound on a destruction of our economy generally. It's saying it's no longer going to build up along this net zero green climate consideration for its investors. And so this is a big deal in a way. You're watching one of the biggest, one of the influencers in the world, moving from this thing of the green enforcement that you're seeing coming down and costing the people a bunch of strife. I think this is another good thing, even though I don't know what its ultimate meaning is. The coalition that it was with is taking a big hit when these guys moved out. Vanguard is walking out of the world's largest climate finance alliance, marking the coalition's biggest defection to date as the U.S. Republicans step up with threats against firms deemed hostile toward fossil fuel industry. But here's the problem. You can't be focused just on the fossil fuel. This has to do with all pieces of carbon, all kinds of things, even nitrogen. Has to do with a whole set of goals. Goals, resiliency, sustainability that is coming behind this. So if the U.S. Republicans focus on fossil fuel, they're doing you a disservice. I'll just tell you. But Vanguard watching the future. That's what they're supposed to do. I've got no thoughts more than as far as investments and this and that. The people that kind of make up economies. This is just speculation what they do. People buy into it, but they're not buying into this anymore as they withdraw from the Glasgow Finance Alliance for net zero. Big story here to my mind, and something is a mover and shaker in the world. There's something shifting, folks, and accountability may be coming. I want to help whoever's interested in this to see there is a shift moving, and we can take advantage of that, hopefully, to bring more. See, people need support for themselves. This starts to bring that support. They have their own reasons, and it's financial, and it's not the future. The carbon market may be, I'm not going to say it's on the brink because it's the future, until we throw it down. We monetize with real money instead of the speculative type nonsense that moves a religion, essentially, along. These people are in that, and they're saying they can no longer justify it to their investors. So big shift, a big earthquake in my mind on this. Not definitive for everybody because it's not stopping much, but it's a start. And so we can move in onto that as the dollars shift and what they move into. Russia-led trade block will soon stop using dollar. This is a prediction thing. I'll just mention that. This is Lavrov saying the U.S. dollar may soon disappear from Eurasia Economic Union for trade statistics. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says, as the member states are cutting use with the currency and mutual settlements. This is against international settlements. Now, but if they're going away from the dollar, folks that use the dollar, like the United States, folks who you've been living off the largesse of the slavery of the world, that may be coming home to roost. And I don't know if these people are intelligent enough to stop it. We really do have to start looking quickly to figure out a way to avoid not just the inflation, but all the hyper costs that are coming along, and more as well, the lack of support for the lack of food that's coming. I've been told and seeing coming to the supermarkets. Things are just disappearing slowly as this thing deflates on us. And I hope you're not going to have this big parachute on your head when it comes down. And hopefully we'll have a bunch of mutual support locally, everywhere, utilizing alternatives, whatever they are. You can do local money. The Ithaca dollar comes to mind, or gold and silver, or just even cash, as long as it's available. You got to make it available by using it. So here we have the Russia-led bloc is soon to stop using the dollar. And what about Russia? Interesting to me to see this. I don't see much reflection of it at all to know, but maybe that's why a lot of people don't listen to me on the broadcast. Some of you are stick-to-itiveness, and I thank you very much. When I keep talking about Russia and Ukraine and this and that, well, maybe the low listenership is because just 1% of Americans view Russia as a top problem. Moscow is far behind the United States government, inflation, economy, and immigration among major concerns on the new survey show. So where the United States is going to attack and make big hay over Ukraine, United Americans are not having that as well. They see different problems, and I'm glad to see those problems. What I want to offer here, well, we're looking over at what I talk about for Russia and Ukraine and what they're doing and the pretext and the pretense and all this is to show us what they do over there, they've done to us or doing to us here. And we watch how people who are on the front end of that attack, how they respond may be informative to us. And so where BP Americans may not see it as a top problem, I'm saying that there's information we can gather to stop the nonsense that the government is actually trying to interject in us, the censorship they do, and start to focus more on what we, the Americans, are saying in order to stop that, because they won't. The government is not part of the people. But interestingly, from interviews, I see the Russian people don't think the people are part of the government. They look at the government of the United States as being like this rogue institution. And boy, can't we know it. Can't we know that? And so I wanted to get to this 1%. Don't view this issue with Russia or the Americans, but the United States thinks it's something. I found a link that confirms that I've been telling you this has not been a proxy war with the United States. This has been an economic war, not even by my statement now, but Putin himself came out and declared that in a statement. I'll have a link. It's hard for me to get that precisely, but he called the economic war the actions of the West against the Russian Federation. He did not say there was a proxy war, did not say it was to Ukraine. These were directly attacking Russia, and Putin's known it all the time. I told you that was going on after the first week I got reoriented on what was going on to tell you this is a direct thing. United States means it wants blood. They want to take down countries, but they're doing it through deception and pretense, and then they cover what they're doing by all these other things I've talked about today. The United States is going to continue doing this nonsense, as we see another report. You just want the Ukraine conflict to last until at least 2025. The American people could care less about it, but the United States government wants to carry this thing on through 2025 for whatever reason, I don't know. But you saw that the sanctions backfired, but that's not a backfire. It's a backfire to Europe. Why they wanted to go through 2025, I don't know, but the United States government wants something the American people don't, could care less. Only 1% are interested. I hope something today I said was informative. Look around the world. Get information where you can. Look at what's going on as the pretense and the pretext to invalidate us as people and what we might be able to do to step up to stop that invalidation and bring it more back to what we, the people, want instead of what the governments of the world want, or the non-governments of the world are getting, actually. I'll be with you next week, Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
for opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.